Sorry, could I say just before I start that it has been, in some ways, an encouraging week as far as people are concerned. There was a person phoned me, contacted me on the phone just to say that since the start of COVID, there was one of the little posts that we put up, and they said they've lost count of how many times that it has been an encouragement to them. It's right at the very start. Way back in 2020, there was the one in Genesis where we were speaking about Joseph. I think I was out in the woods with my bow and arrow for that one. It was one of the really early ones, and it was the words that they shot at Joseph, that the archers shot at him and wounded him, but his bow abode in strength, and his arms, the arms of his hands were strengthened by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And he said to me, he said, "Brother, you don't know. You don't know how often this man has challenges too. You don't know how often I've remembered and went back and looked at that wee video again." So do pray that the Lord would bless him. It was encouraging for me. That's only one person. There may be others who put up videos and they might bless 1,000 people every week. Nobody happier than me. But I'm happy to be able to encourage one. Great privilege to be able to encourage one person. And it was encouraging just to hear that. And we do hope it will encourage you as well. Now we're just going to look at the word here, Philippians chapter 4. And I want to say, first of all, here in chapter 4, that these words of the Apostle Paul are not an idle boast. They're not an idle boast. He says here, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." What really are we looking at? We're looking here at the testimony. That's what it is. What is a testimony to the power of Christ in a mere man? When Paul was writing to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 8, he had some things to say to them concerning terrible experiences that he went through. The wickedness of man towards his fellow man seems to know no limit sometimes. And he'd been up against it. But he was able to say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. It certainly wasn't because of his stature or strength. He said in all these things, talking about the things that had happened to him, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that is what he's talking about here, only using different words. He's saying, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." One of the Bible commentators that I read had this to say about this. They said, "God makes us responsible to do." And that's what we do. I mentioned David. David's going to give his testimony in Ballymoney tonight. God willing, I'll be here to preach, and hopefully you'll be here to listen if you can. God makes us responsible to do, but he supplies us with the strength to do. He supplies us with the strength to do. And certainly that is what that elderly person meant when they said to me, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Not all things that they would perhaps like to do, but all things that they ought to do. And again, that is what the Apostle Paul was emphasizing here to the church at Philippi. If you study the context of this chapter, you will see that he talks a great deal about anxiety, because that's what he's talking about there in verse 6. "Be careful or be over anxious for nothing." Well, I can read it very well, but sometimes I do be over anxious. Maybe you do too. He's saying here, talking about the peace of God in verse 7, and then how important our thought life is, and thinking on these things in verse 8, and verse 9 mentions peace as well. And then he comes right down here and he's saying, "Brethren and sisters, this is not an impossibility for you." It's not an impossibility, but it's something that the Lord can make you sufficient for. And it's a place where the Lord can meet your need. And you and I would want to do what we can for the Lord. This church did at Philippi. Paul did as well. But in verse 12, which is connected with verse 13, "I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed. And the word instructed there means let into the secret of something. Let into the secret of something. You see, Paul knew what it was to go and to preach, and men almost to a man listened and repented. Other times he knows, maybe not very long after, to go and to preach, and they wanted to kill him. And that elderly person I spoke to, they saw the Lord move. Almost every week, souls being saved. But they know what it's like, even now, to just put on your shoulder to the wheel and getting on with the hard plod and looking to the Lord for that better day. There's the abased, being abounding, being full, and being hungry. And he lets the word instructed there means let into the secret of it. And here is the secret of it. Doing all things through Christ which strengthens him, whether it is in days of revival or times when it's harder going. And as I speak to individuals when we're preaching, I want you to take the message as an individual. And I want to give the title to the message, Just When the Devil Would Have You Do Nothing. And sometimes that can happen to all of us. Just when the devil would have you do nothing. That was always a danger for Philippi and Colossae. Danger for Northern Ireland. With discouragement, with the hardness. Just to feel, well, I can't do anything. It's nobody's fault. It's just me. I can't do anything. Well, Paul, and they would have known a little bit about him here, he says, there's been times when I felt empty. Nobody, they wanted to kill me. Other times when there's revival. But Christ is sufficient for me. And I can do all things that I ought to do, that I ought to do through him. And I hope that encourages you this morning as we look at it together. I want you to notice just a few brief and simple thoughts. First of all, there is here no limiting of God. For he says here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's a broad confidence here with Paul. Yes, he had many trials as he sought to serve the Lord, but he was always mindful of his duty, and he sought to get on with that. But I want to look at it this morning and say that we cannot limit God in when it comes to the all things. What about in that all things, the ordinary things? The ordinary things that face us every day. There's something, and a man talked to me about this one time, and it stuck with me. There is the thought here of anger management. Paul was furious over in Acts chapter 26. Now, I know he wasn't saved then. In Acts chapter 26, he was furious, and it says, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And then over there, you go back a few pages to Acts chapter 7, to where, if you look in Acts 7 and 57, there's the death of Stephen. It says, they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him. Paul was there, as Saul of Tarsus, verse 54, when they heard these things, that is Stephen's testimony about Christ, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And again, Saul was the key man that was there. And now he, of course, is a Christian man. And he's marked by patience and love and compassion and long-suffering, which I'm sure every single one of us that are saved today, we have in some measure and we want to have in some measure. But we can't ignore the fact that anger is still something that can be real and destructive and a hindrance. And the Apostle Paul seemed to find himself, when he was trying to do what he could for the Lord, in situations time and again when he could blow a fuse. There's such a thing as righteous anger. We know that. But in situations, you think of Corinth when he wrote to them to start with, the state of them. And how the Lord's table had become a mockery and rolling about drunk, drinking the wine. And the mess that it was, you could understand that he would become But he wanted to make sure, and he always was very careful of this, that his anger was not simple bad-temperedness, because that's what it was when he wasn't saved. And he was exceeding man. And folks, I just want to say, we have all different personalities. Some have long fuses, some have short fuses, whatever. But anger is something that is very real. It is very real. And I was thinking about a time when I was going to visit a person and always angry. This is years and years ago in a very different part from here. And always angry. And I went up to visit and I went in to see them in hospital and very unwell. And said, you know, said my 3 score, I remembered. My 3 score and 10 have gone very quickly. And I said, time flies around us for sure. And then I told about all these different individuals that sent their regards and their kind regards. And it just looked at me and said, you know, sometimes I've been wrong about people. And I said, well, you know, they're sending their regards to you anyway. They sent their regards, but almost every time he was talking to them, he was angry. He was angry about something. And then he was greatly touched because here was the ones that he was being angry with, and they were sending, please assure him of our prayers. Assure him that we're thinking about him, that he will get better, and that he will be better now. There was to be no bettering of him. But I've often thought of that, and I thought, Lord, never let me be like that. In life itself, and you don't need to try to think of any particular reason. In life itself, there's so much that could make you angry. So much that could make you angry. And this was something that Paul sought to emphasize when he was speaking to the church at not just the church at Philippi, but look what it says there in verse 8. He talks about things that are pure and lovely and of good report, that are honest. And he goes on in other places to talk about being long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another, because he knew what he could be. He knew how he could be and how anger could be something that would be very destructive. Over there in the book of Proverbs, it says in chapter 14 and the verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Isn't it easy sometimes just to be angry? You take a look at the world around you and things that are going on. It's very easy to get cross. But if you look at Proverbs 29, again, and I'm moving very quickly here, folks, because of time. Proverbs 29 and verse 29, it says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Now, that was where Paul was before he was saved. But he always knew it was a danger afterwards. There was a danger afterwards. You think of Moses. Moses was doing the best he could in very difficult circumstances. There were those that were determined to stir up trouble because they were angry with him. They were angry with him without a good cause, of course. I could go on and say it can ruin harmony, but more than that, it can ruin your whole quality of life. The man that I talked to you is long gone now. I happen to believe that he was a saved man. I know that, and there's no one here would know him. Some people thought he wasn't because he was so angry. I think he was saved, and he's long gone now. But it says over there in Proverbs chapter 22, and I read what it says in verse 24 and 25. It says, make no friendship with an angry man. And then one time, a good while ago, one of my colleagues in the ministry, just in jesting, said, here's a good text for single ladies, single young women. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Girls can remember that. Any single ones. With a furious man thou shalt not go. It makes sense. And that is, folks, it can ruin your whole quality of life. So whenever we're thinking here of not limiting God, many a time I've asked the Lord, Lord, help me not to be angry about this. And you've got the whole abortion thing coming up now, it doesn't sit well with us. But we want to make sure that any displeasure we have is righteous anger. It's not mere bad temperedness that spills over into everything else, affects our whole way of living. So we leave that there. There's much more we could say. Not limiting God regarding anger management. Maybe there are people I know and I've never seen them angry in my life. Ever. And maybe that's you and that's good, but it's not me. I've been angry. It's not me, but there's anger here. But then there's a thought of naturally feeling unable. The Apostle Paul, as I said and before, and many of you are very aware, he was a man who was not noted as physically strong. He was very weak. He was very weak, and he said his speech was contemptible. Sometimes, now he was very, very clever, and that's not that the Lord wouldn't have used him if he wasn't, but he happened to be a giant intellectually, and very clever, but he said, my speech, we have this picture maybe of Paul as someone like a C.H. Spurgeon or someone like that with a great loud bellowing voice. He says, my speech was contemptible. So he knew what it was to naturally feel unable to do anything, whether it was his appearance or his speech. He could have tended to look inward. And so could these people at Philippi that he loved in the Lord. They could have began looking inward and thinking, well, I just can't. I'm just not able to do anything. But again, to look at verse 12, he's shown them here he knows how to abound, that is, how to be full, and how to be hungry, how to be in hard times. It's through Christ which strengtheneth me. Brethren, it is in so many areas of life, it is looking to him. Sometimes people are very critical of young people. I don't like that. Because there's some brilliant young people and they're just like us. They're not perfect. And even those who may be struggling and all, they're still great young people. And say, no, they need this or they need the, what they need is this or what they need is another. It's very simple. They need the same as I need. I need to keep looking to Christ and continue to get a focus on him and a grasp of what he has done for me, and that will help me with the struggles. And that will help the young people with the struggles. And folks, it would help the people here at Philippi with the struggles because it was through him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And maybe you feel unable. Just unable. People have said to me before, you know, young people and older people, that I remember one time there were a couple of young people were very unhappy because someone had tried, a young person tried to do something and maybe it just didn't work out the way they wanted to and someone belittled them. Now, if I heard them doing that, I would have told them about it. I said, you know, I think it would be better encouraging them. But they belittled them for doing that and really, really discouraged them. Folks, we all feel unable at times. And I want to say to you today, with all the things that, God willing, are coming up in the work here and all the opportunities that there may be, if you're feeling unable, look to Christ. Look to him to help you, who will come alongside and will strengthen you. I'm thinking of one individual, and he's a very quiet man, again in a different part of the country. He would be a backbencher. He'd just sit there. Very quiet, really nice person. But in his business, a man who knows him better than me told me, he says, everybody that comes through his door leaves having heard that they need the Lord. Not that he's arrogant, not that he stuffs it down people's throats in a way that would put them off or gets under their skin, but just in the opportunity. In his business, he's able to bring the conversation around in a nice way, and he's able to share Christ with men and women. And he's a quiet man. He's a quiet man. And he feels, if you're talking to him, he would tell you how unable he feels. But this other man told me, he says, he tells them all. Not that he buttonholes anybody, but he's just that way with him, nice way with him. People want to sit and listen to him. And then he talks about the Lord and tells them how the Lord saved him and how the Lord can save them. Great testimony for the Lord. Right to this very day, he has that testimony. So we're looking here at no limiting God regarding anger management. I'm putting my hand up and saying, I need that. Naturally feeling unable, I need that as well. But what about being sidetracked? David failed miserably. Peter denied the Lord. Demas, who seemed to start off so well, says that he loved the world. And while Paul had his struggles, the only place that you will find any reference to him failing and being sidetracked is in his own writings. In Romans there on chapter 7. And he's been really honest. And folks, the Holy Spirit has this here for a reason. And Paul was really honest. And he says here that he's talking about the battle with the old man and how the flesh would lust against the spirit. He says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." He wants to do the right thing, just like every other believer. He wants to do the right thing. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not." Now, that doesn't imply that he didn't try, but he felt that he come short. "The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." How's that for honesty? But then he loved the people here that he was writing to, and he wanted them to recognize, listen, some of you are in danger of being sidetracked. Just like I have been. And he goes on to talk to them here. He says, "But I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He talks then about, "O wretched man that I am." Usually when men in the world are recognized and noted in the worldly system, they've quite an opinion of themselves. But the Apostle Paul, who was the chief speaker, he says here, "O wretched man that I am." Then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." He makes reference there again to the fact that he's in Christ, and Christ is the answer. You will know that in the original manuscripts, no chapters and verses, goes on to say, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who work not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then he goes on to talk about Christ having set him free. What we want to do, folks, is keep our eyes on him. Not work ourselves up into some kind of a got-up feeling that we think now we're better, but simply look to him, whether we're the young people. I have to say that during my ministry, and even from when I went into the college 27 and a half years ago, many of the greatest encouragement, just ordinary young people. Just ordinary young people. I was speaking to a young girl the other day. I was away in a different part of the country and happened to run her. Just a young person who comes to the rally here. And we're able to say such nice things about the welcome here and how they feel so at home and how it's been such a help. Someone was talking to people I know just this week. They were out at another function and they found out that that one of the people there at the mail was connected to people here. And they were saying, "Oh, I've been there. I've been there in such an inviting place, such a welcome there is there, such a warmth that there is there." And folks, all of that is very, very encouraging. And it only comes as we walk with him and look to him for strength, and we're not sidetracked. The temptation will be there. There it is. Read it again at home, Romans 7. Paul had strong temptations to be sidetracked now for him, whether it was to relax and stand for the Lord or to go back on what he had now embraced or to conform to that around him. I don't know, but he knew it was a battle. The victory for him was always the same. It was through Christ. Through Christ. And I trust today if the devil has come along to you and said, well, really you should just do nothing because you can't. Well, you want to ignore that. And remember here what Paul said, when I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No limiting of God, but then there is leaning. It is leaning on him, and my time has gone here. I really must be able. Leaning implies strength. Implies faith. Because you won't go and try and do something and you feel, well, I can't do it very well, and maybe I'm feeling timid or shy, whatever the case might be. It's then that we want to lean on him. Just by faith to go. You know that whenever they're going across the Red Sea, how the waters parted when they put their foot in. Stood back 100 yards and looked at it, would never have parted. But whenever they began to cross there and across the Jordan, all of them times it was by faith they went forward. And the apostle here is at length to point them again to Christ. And I know faith is something that when you can't see something, sometimes you're a wee bit dubious. And you can't see faith. But we can lean on him who's told us to lean on him. Cast all our care upon him simply means lean upon him. And again, maybe there's someone right now and you'd like to do something for the Lord, or you are doing something for the Lord and you feel you're not doing a very good job. Well, lean on him. Think of those, as I was doing this past week a lot, those in Ukraine who up until last year had a relatively. Now, it wasn't all easy. Let's not think that everyone out in Ukraine is in favor of evangelical Christianity. They're not. That's for sure. In fact, some of the churches, Christian churches there, always had a tough enough time. But now it's a disaster for some of them. It's a disaster. But they're still trying to do what they can. And it is as they lean on him. As I lean on him, he will strengthen them. The word that Paul uses there, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is in the present tense. Strengthened him yesterday. He's strengthening him now. And Paul knows, and he believes by faith, that he will strengthen him tomorrow. Strengthen him tomorrow. And so it is for you and I. And can we look back maybe in times when I felt, well, struggled with it all. Struggled with all of this, with the anger issues because of the world around me, just made me like this, that kind of thought. Felt I can't do anything. Well, here's the Apostle Paul encouraging this little church at Philippi. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That text is a great encouragement to that person I was talking to the other night. And I hope it's a great encouragement to you. I must finish by moving to a third point. It's very, very brief. I'll just mention the outline here, and that is the thrust of the verse. What does the verse really mean? Well, there's encouragement here for those who are involved in the work. Yes, it's an uphill task. But there's encouragement here that we can lean on him. There's a challenge here. A challenge here to get involved and do what we can and look to him. But there's also a call here, I believe, this morning to the unsaved. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible says that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, and that's where I was. And yet when I was without strength, he saved me. And he can save you if you will come to him. And if you have no hope and no assurance regarding the future and no strength, he can save you. And I trust that he will do that, that he will save you today, and that you will seek him for salvation. Maybe someone listening somewhere and you've considered it all before, we're glad that you're listening. And we trust today that you would come and put your faith and trust in him.